in the Space Coast with the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You are in tune to 1510 AM, WWBC, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, Merritt Island, Titusville, and the Beaches on FM 94.7.
Have you ever been in a courtroom or been part of a trial by jury? Certainly we've seen enough of these on television, but have you been there yourself? Welcome to Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee. Most of us have only stood trial vicariously, but today in our study of 1 Corinthians chapter 4, we're going to learn that someday we'll be a part of three different trials ourselves. So as you turn in your Bible, let's read a brief but great letter from a listener of our Hindi broadcast in India. He writes, I used to be a depressed person, and the power of darkness ruled my life. I would often fight and beat my wife and children. In fact, I wanted to be separated from my family. One day, I happened to listen to your program while I was searching for some entertainment on the radio. I heard that we should love one another, and I was convicted to show more love to my wife and children. Since then, I've listened regularly. Today, my family leads a very peaceful and joyful life. Thank you for showing me the way to follow Jesus Christ. Well, God's word is so good. Let's commit this time to Him. Father, only Your Spirit can reveal the things of Christ to us, so thank You for this good example. Direct Your Spirit now to open our eyes that we may see the wonderful truth in Your Word and be transformed ourselves. We ask this in the name above all names, our Savior, Jesus. Amen. Now, Dr. J. Vernon McGee will lead us in our study of 1 Corinthians 4 as we go through the Bible.
Now we come today to the fourth chapter here of 1 Corinthians, and we have here the last chapter in which Paul is dealing with the divisions and the party spirit that was in the church in Corinth. And in this chapter, he speaks of the conditions of Christ's servants, and that is what should constrain Christian conduct. And will you note here how he begins? He says, let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Now, let me pause there for just a moment in that very wonderful verse. Actually, we are all ministers of Christ. Every believer is a minister of Christ. I don't care who you are. And one of the reasons today that I make that statement is that it's so easy for somebody in the church to say, well, he's my minister. Well, I want to be very kind, but I want to be rather firm. I'm not your minister. I trust I'm the minister of Christ. I'm responsible to him. And therefore, you have no right to sit in judgment on others, especially those that at least think they're doing the will of God, because actually the ministers stand before a higher court than you and than I am. Now, Paul is going to mention three courts here that all of us have to appear before. Every one of you have to go before three courts, and your case is appealed from one to the other, by the way. Now, will you notice that he also says, let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Now, a steward is one who had charge of giving out the things that were in the house, the food, for instance, the clothes, and that sort of thing. Now, a minister today, in that sense, is one that should dispense the Word of God. You remember the Lord Jesus gave the mystery parables. And by the way, we have here for the third time a reference to the mystery. Here it is, we're stewards of the mysteries of God. Now let's identify those mysteries. The mysteries are those things that had not been revealed before, And the mysteries are those things that cannot be understood by the natural man. He does not understand them. Only the Spirit of God can take the things of Christ and show them unto us. And that's the mystery. And it's the gospel here, and it is actually the Word of God. We are stewards of the mysteries of God, and we dispense that. Now, in the mystery parable discourse in Matthew 13, our Lord concluded it by saying, "Do you understand these things?" Well, they said they did. I don't know whether they did or not. I don't think they did at the time. But he did not say they didn't, nor did he say he did. But he did say this. He said, "A household, a steward, brings forth from his treasure things both new and old." Now, that's what today a steward should be doing, bringing forth from the Word of God things new and things old. When anyone used to say to me, "Well, I've heard that before, what you preached on today." Well, I always say that I'm a steward that's to bring forth things both new and old. So today, I brought forth a little of the old. I'm sorry that you didn't like it, but that's my business. I'm to bring forth things both new and old. Stewards of the mysteries of God. How wonderful. And I can't think of any calling any higher than that. But actually now here, all of us really are ministers of Christ. You're a preacher, whether you know it or not, and don't get angry with me. There was a man that lived down from the church here in Pasadena when I was pastor here, and this man was a habitual drunkard. He was an alcoholic, a real sot. And he lived with his mother, and his mother, a wonderful Christian, wanted me to talk with him. He's a grown man. And so one day, I saw him staggering down the street, so I just detoured him into my study. Didn't have much difficulty there, and he sat down. I told him what a sorry fella he was. He agreed with every bit of it. And then I said to him, I said, "Did you know you're a preacher?" He stood up, he says, "Don't you call me that." He says, "I'll hit you." And do you know that fella, he didn't mind being called a drunkard or an alcoholic, but he sure didn't want to be called a preacher. Well, all of us are preachers, and I said to him, we preach by our lives some message. You are saying to the world, those around you, you're saying something by your life. You can't help it. I live my life into you, you live your life into me. It's just that way. We have that kind of influence. Therefore, we're all ministers of Christ. And if we're believers, what kind of a message are we giving? Now, the important thing about a steward is not that he'd be eloquent or that he might not have many gifts, but moreover, it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. And it took me a long time to learn that in the church, but I believe that's the most important thing of all, is to be faithful. Oh, how many are going to be rewarded someday, not because they did some great thing or that they had some great gift, but what they did and how they served, they were faithful. Faithfulness, that a man be found faithful. And I learned over the years as a pastor in a church that you always had a few, they were the faithful. Faithful few. You could depend on them. You could rest on them. You knew where they stood. Now, he goes on to say, listen now to Paul, "But with me it's a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not mine own self, for I know nothing by myself. Yet am I not hereby justified, but he that judgeth me is the Lord." Now, that may seem to be a rather difficult verse, or these two verses, but actually they're not. What we have here are the three courts that all of us have to appear before. And the reason that you have no right to sit in judgment on me and I have no right to sit in judgment on you is because you're going to stand before a higher court, and I am too. Now, the first court are others, the opinion of others. Notice what he says, "But with me, it's a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment," the opinion of others. Phillips, in his, and I don't want to call it a translation, I do not think it's a good translation. I think it's an excellent interpretation, and here's a good interpretation, verse 3. "But as a matter of fact, It matters very little to me what you or any man thinks of me. And that's a good interpretation of it. It's a striking statement, and it sounds like Paul is antisocial. But Paul was not callous or contemptuous of the opinion of others. It does not mean that he did not value the judgment of others. Paul was not immune to the expression and estimation of those about him. He defended his apostleship with great feeling when it was challenged by others. And he was always hurt by false rumors. Right here in this very chapter, he mentions that. You find here, he speaks in verse 11, "Even unto this present hour we both hunger and thirst, naked, buffeted, no certain dwelling place, and labor, working with our hands, being reviled, we bless, being persecuted, we suffer it, being defamed, we entreat. We are made as the filth of the world, and are of the offscouring of all things under this day." You see, Paul was very sensitive to the opinion of others. But Paul was not swayed by what others thought. Actually, his life was not directed by others. They were not at the steering wheel of his life. He did not listen to the backseat driver. Now, whether we like it or not, we all stand before the judgment seat of others. It's just something that you and I cannot avoid. And yet, it's practiced too much in this country. It was Abraham Lincoln that said, "Public opinion in this country is everything." That's, I think, true, and unfortunately, it is true. And we find here that there's a danger to defer to the opinion of others, yield to the criticisms of our enemies, surrender to them. Many court favor and popularity of the crowd. That's what the politicians do. We referred to one last time. Some will surrender principles and honor and reputation. And it was Milton who said, "The last infirmity of a noble mind is the love of fame." And that is the thing that today that a great many go after. Horace Greeley, remember the editor of New York Sun, said, "Fame is a vapor, popularity an accident. Riches take wings. Those who cheer today will curse tomorrow. Only one thing endures, that's character." And again, we find that someone else has said the trouble with most of us is that we would rather be ruined by praise than saved by criticism. And that, of course, I'm afraid is true also. Now, will you notice that Paul was swayed but never changed by the opinion of others? So he says here, "It's a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment." Then he makes this statement, "Yea, I judge not mine own self." Now, the court that's a little higher than the opinion of others is another court. It's oneself, and that's conscience. That's a higher court, by the way, the court of one's conscience. Now, is conscience a safe guide? Well, Paul says it's not. It's not an accurate guide. We're to be led of the Spirit. We've already had the age of conscience in the past, and it ended in a flood. The Christian should have an enlightened conscience. And when it rebukes us and tells us we're wrong, we should hearken to it and obey it. And when it approves our easygoing ways, our appeals to our vanity, and flatters us, we should beware of it. All of us stand or fall before this court, though. Was it Shakespeare who said, "To thine own self be true, and as the night follows the day, thou canst not be false to any man"? And I think it was Longfellow that put it like this: "Not in the clamor of the crowded street, not in the shouts and plaudits of the throng, but in ourselves are triumph and defeat." And this is something today that an honest man will not be influenced and guided by others, but what he thinks is right. It's a brave formula, it's a noble rule, yet Paul said he didn't follow it. Paul refused to pass final judgment on himself. And again, if I may use Phillips as just an interpretation, he says, "I don't even value my opinion of myself, but that doesn't justify me before God." It wasn't that he knew something against himself. On the contrary, he says he knew nothing against himself, but that didn't clear him. Because it's characteristic of human nature We are harsh on others and lenient on ourselves. That was David's problem, you remember. He could see the evil in someone else, but not in himself. Well, when others engage in idle talk and gossip, are we telling the truth and are we honest? When others hold to some opinion and are contentious, do we have the courage of our convictions? When others cause divisions and are troublemakers, are we standing for the right? When others forsake God's house and are backslidden, do we have a good excuse? You know, we're not apt to be severe upon ourselves. We always like to cast ourselves in a leading role, and it's generally distorted. We do not stand or fall before ourselves, because God may reverse the decision of this court, and there is another court. By the way, there is that court of others. There is the court of oneself. And then there is the court of the one and only Master, the Bema of Christ. And will you notice what he says here? Verse 4, "For I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified? But he that judgeth me is the Lord." Now he says, I'm going to stand someday before the judgment seat of Christ. And he's going to talk about that in the second epistle in the 5th chapter. And we'll wait till we get there to go into it. But each one of us will appear. So then, each one of us will appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Now, what's going to be judged there? Well, not our sins, because as far as the east is from the west, he's removed our sins from us. He remembers them no more, and the sins are under the blood. Well, we're going to be judged as stewards. Our stewardship will be under inspection. And our physical possessions, our bodies, our material resources, our giving, all of these things are going to be judged, you see. These are the things that are to be brought up, and it's a pretty important office to be a steward today. After all, we own nothing, as we said before. All things are Christ's, and we belong to him, and we're in partnership with him. And it's a wonderful thing that Paul says here as he closed this third chapter, as we saw last time, or time before last, I guess it was. All things are ours. Paul is ours, and Paulus is ours. Well, are you a Calvinist? Well, Calvin belongs to me, and so does John Wesley. And the world, I do not mean organized society, the secular world, but this world I live in, I can enjoy its scenery, its beauty, the mountains, the trees, and the ocean, and life. But death is ours. Very well, Dr. Parker says, death is yours. It belongs to you. Death is not to master you. You're going to master it. Death's yours. Oh, how wonderful. Things present. You belong to Christ, and you belong to me. And things to come, the pathway into the future, the highway markers are up, the foundations have been washed out. So what? May I say, things to come. All of these things are ours. How wonderful it is. And I'm going to stand before him someday. I should live in the light of that. Now listen to Paul. Therefore, verse 5, judge nothing before the time until the Lord come. He's the one. When you sit in judgment on someone else, you're taking the Lord's place, you see. Therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the heart. And then shall every man have praise of God. I remember someone came to me several years ago and said that a certain individual was criticizing me. I said, what is he saying? And he told me, I said, that's all right. And so I started to walk away. And the fellow says, aren't you going to do something about it? I said, no. I said, if that's all he knows, I know more than he does. And if that's the best he can do, I really know something about myself. Now, the hidden works of darkness are going to be brought out in the light of the presence of Christ. That's the reason today we should be very careful how we live. And then he makes this remarkable statement, then shall every man have praise of God. I believe that every saint of God, that he's going to find something to praise us for. Did you notice in the seven churches of Asia Minor, he commended all the churches, with exception of one, which I don't think is his church anyway. just an organization, the Church of Laodicea. But he had something good to say about all of them. He also had words of condemnation, but also word of commendation. And we all have praise of God. There was a dear little lady in a church years ago that always had something good to say about everybody, and especially the preacher. And one day they had a visiting preacher, and he preached the most miserable sermon anybody ever listened to. And people sat there wondering, what in the world will the dear little lady say about this sermon today? And they all gathered around. When she went out, she smiled and shook hands with the preacher, and she says, "Oh, Pastor, you had a wonderful text today." Well, may I say, you can find something to praise them for. "Then shall every man have praise of God. And these things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sakes." Paul says, "I'm just using this as an illustration for you." Paul and Apollos, we're friends. We belong to Christ. Christ belongs to us. And each one's exercising his gift. How wonderful that is. "That ye might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written, that no one of you be puffed up for one against another. For who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hadst not received it?" You have a gift today, and some of you have wonderful gifts. Maybe you're a musician. You have anything to boast about? God gave it to you. You're not the originator of it at all. We ought to thank God for our gifts, you see, and not have anything to boast about. We haven't. Now he says, "Now you're full. Now you're rich. You've reigned as kings without us. And I would to God you did reign." He said, "I wish Christ had come so we could reign, that we also might reign with you. For I think that God hath sent forth us, the apostles, last, as it were, appointed to death, doomed to death. For we are made a spectacle unto the world, and to angels and to man." Great deal could be said about this verse. The apostles, oh, that great martyr period of the church, set before the world as a spectacle, not only to the world, but to angels and to men. And I think that means the church today. Other men have labored, friends. We've entered into their labors. Now Paul says what he'd gone through in order that actually that you and I might have this epistle and be enjoying it right now, and I trust we're enjoying it. "We're fools for Christ's sake, but you're wise in Christ. We are weak, but you're strong. You're honorable, but we are despised." Then he goes on, as I read a moment ago, the position that he took. You and I can't dream of what this great apostle suffered in order to get the gospel of Christ out. And my, how he was affected. He evangelized Asia Minor, friends. We are told there in the province of Asia that everyone, both Jew and Gentile, heard the word of God. And he goes on to say that he was the missionary that led them to the Lord. "Though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel." It's wonderful, friends, to be the spiritual father of someone that you've led to Christ. Now he says, verse 17, "For this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son," another one of his converts, "and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere and in every church." Now some are puffed up, though I'd not come to you. But he says, "I'm going to come to you shortly, and we'll know not the speech of them which are puffed up, but the power." He says, "I don't care about your talk. I want to know whether there's power in your life. For the kingdom of God is not in word, it's power. But will ye, shall I come unto you with a rod or in love, and in the spirit of meekness?" And their attitude and action will determine that. Now we go on next time to chapter 5. We move in another area, and I'm sure Paul didn't enjoy it. It's the scandals that were in the Corinthian church. We'll see that next time. May God richly bless you, my beloved.
Oh boy, scandals. Yes, they were in the early church too. You can read ahead in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and get your head and your heart ready for what we'll study next time. You know, I've said it before, but I highly suggest that you read ahead of each study. It's really a great way to get on board the Bible bus in a more meaningful way. Just download a copy of the reading schedule from ttb.org/bookmark or give us a call at 1-800-65-BIBLE. And you can always drop us an email at biblebus@ttb.org. I'm Steve Schwetz, and God willing, I'm going to be here next time, saving you a seat on the Bible bus as this 5-year journey continues.
Jesus made it home, unto him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow.
Through the Bible exists to take God's whole word to the whole world, and we invite you to stand with us with your faithful prayer and financial support. Where will God's word go today?
Listening to WWBC Cocoa, Merritt Island, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI Cocoa, Rockledge, 94.7 FM, W264AS Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, Indian Atlantic, Indian Harbor Satellite Beach, 100.7 FM, and W260CL, Cocoa, 99.9 FM.
All right, praise the Lord. Greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is worthy of all honor and praise. I am Minister Gloria Ross, and thank you for tuning in to the broadcast of New Life Assembly of God. Hallelujah. We are located at 774 North Apollo Boulevard, and that's in Melbourne, Florida. Our telephone number is 321-255-6999. Our service time starts at 11 o'clock a.m. every Sunday. Now stay tuned to the broadcast.
Well, praise the Lord once again. We thank the Lord for this glorious day to be in the land of the living, to give him all the praise and honor. We thank him so much for waking us up this morning and allowing us to see this wonderful day and set us on the journey so that we can glorify him. And I thank God for that today. I want to pray for my faith partners and radio listeners out there in radio land. Father God, in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we pray for the listeners out there. Everyone, Lord, that tuned into the broadcast, I pray, Lord God, that the word of God will go uninterrupted, Lord, by any demonic forces. We break those powers in the name of Jesus, and every person that give their heart to you or receive this word will be blessed in Jesus' mighty name. Amen, amen. And amen. Well, this morning, praise the Lord, we want to talk about Luke 9 and verse 23. We want to look at the discipleship and more so of what Jesus was saying to the religious people. You see, the elders and the scribes and the Pharisees, all those folk there, they want religion. They wanted to demonstrate religion, but the Lord Jesus Christ was looking for discipleship. And then we want to look at the 9th chapter of the book of Luke and the 23rd verse. Praise God. And the word is so clear, if we just allow the Holy Spirit to illuminate the scriptures and give us revelatory insight concerning what Jesus is saying. Because each one of us, we should look to what the Lord Jesus Christ has done on Calvary's cross. I want to speak on a subject today concerning Christ's follower. Glory to God.
Amen.
Christ's followers. Not the following of man or any denomination or any particular bishop or superintendent or anybody other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Now listen to what the word of God is saying, because Jesus is very clear when he spoke to those religious folks. And the scripture tells us, and he said unto them all, if any man come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow him. Now that is so clear there, and we need to understand that there's nothing that we are able to do in of our own strength. We are to stay focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now Jesus said this. I didn't write this. This is what the Master said. He said, if any man or woman, doesn't matter who you are, if you come after him. Now listen to me very carefully. He didn't say if you come to some denomination or some church. He said if you come after him, he says, let him deny himself. We must deny ourselves. Glory to God. Now, the way that we deny ourselves is not trying to exert our own will or our strength or our power. Whatever it is that we will try to do, we need to not do that and keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. Because your will won't work. And your power won't work. Self-will won't work. Your strength won't work. Everything is wrapped up in the Lord Jesus Christ. and what he has done for us all on Calvary's cross. Now, he was clear. He said, if any man come after me, let him deny himself. You must deny yourself. There's a lot of folks today that have a whole lot of work mentality. They're trying to earn things. They're trying to make themselves holy and righteous. But I want to tell you today, if you are a Christ follower, listen to what I'm saying, a Christ follower, then you would deny yourself and take up your cross daily and follow Jesus.
Amen.
And the only way that you will follow Jesus is through what took place on Calvary's cross. If you're going to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, everything must be focused on what he has done and not you. Denying yourself, depending totally, completely on the Lord Jesus Christ and what he has done. There are many people today that are depending on bishops and pastors, and there's nothing wrong with having respect for them, but the word tells us, if you are a Christ follower, you will follow Jesus all the way to Calvary's cross. And that is where the Holy Spirit will lead you. The Holy Spirit testifies and witness of the Lord Jesus Christ. No one else but Jesus. Glory to God. So the whole idea is that we keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ and everything that he has done for us all that believe and trust in him. I'm speaking of Christ followers, not man followers, not religious or church followers. Jesus says, if any man come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow him. And this is what he was telling to these religious folks, the elders and the scribes and Pharisees, all those folks. Excuse me. We must follow Jesus.
Yes.
Not some of the way or part of the way, but all the way. Because he is the only one that makes the difference in our lives. So we stay focused on him. We keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ at all costs. Forget about ourselves and stay focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. And don't try to look to the left or the right. Don't try to exert your willpower or your strength or your ability. We must depend on the Lord Jesus Christ at all costs. Now, I want to tell you today that once you stay focused on Jesus, then you can follow him. You can come after him. And that does not mean that you get in some airline and go into the Valley of Golgotha, where the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified, and have some Romans organization to crucify you to follow him. That's not what he's saying. He's saying, you must follow him through what he has done and not what you are attempting or able to do. And we thank God for what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. We cannot do it. If we could do it, God would have not sent his son to die on Calvary's cross for us to try and do things in our own ability or our strength. Now hear me out there, beloved. You cannot do this. Only one that have accomplished and pleased the Lord Jesus, that pleased the Father, was the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let's look at what Christ has done. So if you're going to follow him, you have to follow him all the way to Calvary. And when I say all the way to Calvary, I mean exactly what Jesus Christ has done for us. That's the only way you can follow him. You can't follow him in your own strength Are you trying to do things on your own? And many people today feel that, well, they can make themselves holy. They can make themselves righteous. They can make themselves, let me tell you today, by the grace of God, hallelujah, that you must depend totally on the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It's not by any works that we are able to do. The Holy Spirit will usher you, will point you to Calvary's cross. That's what he would do, because he witnessed, he testifies of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we want to look at scripture and see what Jesus has done for us. And if you want to follow him, you follow him all the way to Calvary and what he has done. Glory to God. Your faith must be in Jesus. Now, Minister of Glory, look at what in Colossians 1 in verse 13 through 15, and we want to tell the radio listeners out there what Christ has done. It's not about you, about me, it's only about Jesus. This is why we exalt Jesus. We lift him up. He is the ascended Lord, the risen Savior. And this is why our faith must be in him if we're going to be a Christ follower. There are folks today that are following everything but the Lord Jesus Christ. Minister Gordon, would you read?
Yes, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness.
Glory to God. You see what the word of God says in Colossians 1 and verse 13, who has delivered us. There are many people today, they go and they stand in prayer lines and they ask the pastor, well, pray that I be delivered. Delivered from what? Jesus has delivered you already. That is a past tense designation there. Who has delivered you from the powers of darkness? That's why you don't worry about what the devil is doing. The devil is defeated. The Lord Jesus Christ defeated Satan on Calvary's cross. And if you want to walk in that defeat where what Jesus has done, then keep your eyes. Stay on the Lord Jesus Christ at all costs. Because when he shed his precious blood there on Calvary's cross, glory to God, he defeated the powers of darkness. Amen. He defeated the powers of darkness. So he has delivered us. That's Jesus. And what has he done, Minister Glory?
And has translated us into the kingdom of his dear son.
Praise God. Praise God. He delivered you. Hey, no man can deliver you. It's all right to be prayed for, but you're not being prayed to be delivered. Jesus has delivered you already. I say it already. He's not trying to deliver you. He's delivered you already. So, Minister Glory, go ahead.
In whom we have redemption through his blood.
Praise God. He's redeemed you. I said he has redeemed you through his blood.
Even forgiveness of sins.
Even the forgiveness of sins. This is what Jesus has done. This is why we lift up Jesus. This is why we talk about the Lord Jesus Christ and what he has done. Oh, I'm telling you today, glory to God, that Jesus has done it all. I say he has done it all. There's nothing left for you to do but to receive what he's done. Believe in him and thank God that he came and died on Calvary's cross so that you would have redemption and the forgiveness of sin. Praise God. Praise God. Praise the Lord.
Who is the image of the invisible God?
My Lord.
The firstborn of every creature.
Glory to God. Now let me tell you something out there in Radio Land. Your faith must be in Jesus and all that the Lord Jesus Christ has done. Not in man, not in any organization, only in Jesus. If you want to come after him, that's what you have to do. Follow him to Calvary. Everything that he's done for us all on Calvary's cross is what we believe and trust in. And you're following the master himself. Jesus defeated the powers of darkness. You cannot do it. Jesus defeated the powers of darkness on Calvary's cross.
Amen.
Minister Glory, let's look at
Colossians 2:14. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Now here we go. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it.
This is where we have the victory. Jesus not only died for your sins on Calvary's cross, but Jesus also defeated the devil at Calvary. This is what he has done. We go around trying to fight the devil. The devil is a defeated foe. He's been defeated by Jesus. You don't need to try and defeat any devil. The Lord Jesus Christ is who we keep our eyes on. We follow Christ. And when we follow Christ, glory to God, I'm telling you, we have all of the benefits and everything that he's done, we have through what he has done. Glory to God out there in radio land. Somebody should say amen out
amen.
There.
Amen.
Because I'm telling you, stop trying to do this thing. You cannot do it. If you could do it, the Father had no need to send Jesus. But since he sent the Lord Jesus Christ to die for the sins of the world, glory to God, that means that humanity needed a Savior. You can't do it. I can't do it. All we can do is believe and trust in what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us. Many people today have taken St. John 14, and verse 27. Glory to God. I think that's where it is. In other words, they've taken the verse of scripture where it talks about, well, Jesus said, the works that I do, you shall do also, and greater works than these. Where is that in the 20?
15 and 20.
They say, well, the works that he did, we shall do also, and greater works than these, because I go to my Father. Well, I want to tell you, St. John, what is that? 14, right? Is it
14 greater works? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Well, anyway.
Yes, praise God.
Hey, praise God. What is happening is that you cannot do that. Only the Lord Jesus Christ. 14. Only the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. He's the one that is able to do everything.
Yeah, in 14:12, it says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth in me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father.
What is he saying? He said that he will go to the Father and send back another comforter, which is the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Who will operate in your life when you be led by him to stay focused on what Jesus has done for us on Calvary's cross. I want to tell you today that the Holy Spirit, he testifies.
Amen.
He witness of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Not you, not me, only of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is why we keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. Glory to God. I tell you today, if you keep your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ and be a Christ follower, follow Jesus. Oh, I tell you, I decided to follow Jesus.
Amen.
Glory to God. No organization, no man, no preacher, nobody but the Lord Jesus Christ. And I tell you, when you do that, glory to God, you can have the victory. You can walk in peace. You'll be redeemed. You'll be holy. You'll be righteous, because we can't do it on our own. Glory to God, only through what Jesus has done. Mr. Glory, remember reading there in Hebrew 10, in verse 10, praise God.
Mm-hmm.
Our eyes must be on Jesus.
Amen.
Glory to God. The devil wants you to try to do this thing on your own, in your own strength. And when you do that, then you are thinking of yourself. You're out from under the covering of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he has done for you. And you're on the devil's turf.
Amen.
And he will destroy you. Our victory is in Jesus.
Praise God.
Our peace is in Jesus.
Yes.
Our anointing is in Jesus. everything that we need, all the benefits that we need is in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. Be a Christ follower today.
Praise God.
Stop following man. Follow Jesus.
It says in Hebrews 10:10, it says, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all.
Glory to God. We are sanctified. We've been made holy.
Set apart.
We've been set apart only through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. And that was done at Calvary's cross. A lot of folks today are trying to make themselves holy. They're trying to make themselves righteous. They're doing all kind of outer man exhibits. But let me tell you something today. You can't do it. You cannot make yourself holy. Jesus is the only one that can make you holy. And only when you put your faith and trust in him. Mr. Glory, you remember 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21?
Yeah.
Glory to God, where it says that the Father has sent the Son. In other words, he has made him to be sin offering for us.
Yes.
Who knew no sin?
Who knew no sin.
That we might be made the righteousness of God in him.
Amen.
I tell you, everything is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Glory to his wonderful name.
Amen.
Everything is in Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about what we are doing.
No.
Jesus is the only one that pleased the Father.
Praise God.
You can't please the Father only through Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
When you abide in Jesus, keep your mind on what he's done.
Right.
Be a Christ follower. Glory to God. And you can please the Father.
Amen.
A lot of folks today are trying to please God.
That's right.
By reading the Bible. And reading the Bible is all right. By praying and setting up all kinds of disciplines. But let me tell you something. The only one pleased the Father is the Lord Jesus Christ. And you can please him by keeping your faith in Jesus and only in the Lord Jesus Christ.
You know, Pastor, in Hebrews 12:2, it says, look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith.
Glory to God.
For the joy that was set before him, endured the cross.
Yes, he
all
did.
All done at the cross. Despising the shame and set down the right hand of the Father of God. Making intercessions for us. Hallelujah.
The Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, but first of all, we have to lay aside, let us lay aside every weight.
Yes, praise God.
And every sin which does so easily beset us.
Mm-hmm.
And let us run with patience this race that's set before us.
Praise God.
And then we look to Jesus.
Hallelujah.
We don't look for another church.
Mm-hmm.
We look to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
There are folks today that are looking to man.
Yes.
What can man do for you except confuse you?
Mm-hmm.
What can man do to you? Why are thou mindful of man? I want to tell you today, look to Jesus. Glory to God. And this is what he says, looking unto Jesus.
Uh-huh.
It's not a glance.
No.
You're not glancing at Jesus. If you're going to be a Christ follower, you keep your eyes on Jesus.
That's right.
And what he has done for us all on Calvary's cross. Praise his wonderful name. A Christ follower.
Mm-hmm.
Not a man follower. A Christ follower. And this is what Jesus was trying to tell these Pharisees, these scribes, and these religious leaders, and these elders. He was trying to tell them he's looking for discipleship. Glory to God. If you're going to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll be one of his disciples. Minister Glory, quickly, let's go into St. John 8 and verse 31-32, because Jesus was talking to the Hebrew believers there as well. Listen, you have to follow Jesus.
That's right.
Amen. Then, following the Lord Jesus Christ and only Christ.
Then said Jesus to those Jews which believe, and now we are believers.
Amen.
On him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth. And whose truth? Jesus. And the truth shall make you free.
Praise God. Praise God. Christ followers. Looking to Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. Can you understand what he's saying? He's the author and the finisher of our faith, or the developer of our faith. And when we keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, Minister Glory, this is why there's so much problems today. People are following man.
Yes.
They're trying to look to a human for all of the benefits of God. It won't work.
No.
The only way it's going to work is that you follow Jesus to Calvary. Glory to God. I tell you, it's a wonderful thing that when you just put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And only in him. See, the devil wants you to do your own thing.
Yep.
That's what he wants.
Mm-hmm.
He He wants you to come out from under that anointing. He wants you to come out from under following the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants you to take your eyes off of Jesus. Mm-hmm. Put your eyes on yourself and what you are able to do. And he's going to destroy you. Man. But I tell you today that if you keep your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ, man, the blood of Jesus that was shed on Calvary's cross, mm-hmm, that washes us and cleanses us, my God, and forgive us,
yes,
and heal us.
Everything.
Let me tell you something. It's Jesus.
It's Jesus.
And only Jesus.
Only him.
And I'm telling you, if you're following man out there in Radio Land, you're going to ultimately be deceived, because all man can do for you is to hinder you from following the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen, amen. Glory to the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You know, it's amazing how he told those religious folks, we have to follow Jesus.
That's right.
You know, and he was clear. He said, if any man come after me,
mm-hmm,
I'm not coming after nobody but Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. He said, if any man come after me, let him deny himself.
Amen.
So to deny yourself is to deny your self-will,
mm-hmm,
your ability,
mm-hmm,
your strength, and put your faith in Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. You know, there's one last verse of scripture I'd like to throw in here. Praise God. Because a lot of folks think because they go to church that they're children of God,
mm-hmm,
and they sing and they cry and all this stuff. Let me tell you something. In Galatians 3 and verse 26, you want to read that message?
We're all children of God by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
That's who we are. We're children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. Not,
mm-hmm,
by coming to church, not by singing in the choir, not by being a deacon on the deacon board. None of that stuff matters. It has its place. But you're a child of God by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you put in your faith in everything that Jesus has done and not what you are able to do. Praise God.
Okay.
Praise the
Lord.
Well,
now you have an opportunity to receive him right now if you have not. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation.
Thank God.
For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved by faith.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We thank the Lord today for all those that tune into the broadcast. And I just want to tell you out there that listen to what Jesus said. Stop listening to every other voice. The enemy wants to destroy you. He does not love you. Jesus has told us that in John 10 and verse 10, that the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Listen, when you follow Jesus, you will have abundant life. God bless you all out there in Radio Land is my prayer. Yes.
You've been listening to the Salvation and Deliverance Outreach, brought to you by New Life Assembly of God Church, located at 774 North Apollo Boulevard in Melbourne. Their number is 321-255-6999. You also can write New Life Assembly of God Church at Post Office Box 2303, Melbourne, Florida 32902. Be with us again at the same time next week for another program, Salvation and Deliverance Radio Outreach.